broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal, incredibly simple, remains steady as a rock. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. I had a delightful weekend, all focused on God, family, and country, and pray you had the same. Wow, we've got a lot to cover, man. The news just seems to never rest these days. You know, when we first started in the news business, man, the news wasn't near as 24/7 as it is now. It's very hard to keep up, especially when folks like me take a break for the Sabbath. Don't chase down the news. Don't work at it. I just focus on God, family, and country. And, well, I don't really spend the time on the news much. And so, you know, you got to really spend a bunch of time Monday morning catching up. But, man, the mainstream press and the mainstream society that's turned their back on God thinks Sunday is like the news day for some strange reason. It's out of control. Anyway, a quick recap of Friday's broadcast. We talked about there's been no definitive DNA test on Bill Clinton's son. The tabloids are even admitting, well, they didn't do the test. They were misquoted in the report. Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily, has the details. We also talked about Whitney Gilmore was a secretary in the Oval Office during Clinton's time as president. And, well, Bill Clinton, of course, was involved with her, too. Yeah, as he committed adultery. And Whitney now has a 16-year-old daughter as a result of Bill's attentions. And Alyssa suggests that, hey, Bill Clinton's her dad. So now we got two illegitimate children of Bill Clinton claiming they want DNA tests to prove Bill Clinton's their father. Meanwhile, we talk about Trump's tape, right? And by the way, after Michelle Obama responds to Donald Trump's lewd tape, White House issues warning to Donald Trump, you better not attack the First Lady. That's really a threat, ladies and gentlemen, from the White House directly to the presidential candidate. No wonder Donald Trump's so livid, huh? All right, we also talked about the WikiLeaks lawyer. Her name is Erica. I cannot believe this. You know, I always talk about these strange coincidences. Her last name's like Rottenberg. Rottenberg. Now, they might say it's Rottenberg or whatever, but Rottenberg is her name. Literally, leaked emails suggest Hillary Clinton's attorney, Erica Rottenberg, privately told the campaign that the email scandal smacks of being above the law. Even Hillary Clinton's own attorney admits that it's above the law. Wow. We also have heard cut ties to Donald Trump, say big donors to the RNC, and they've now done it. There's a battle between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump, and no money going from the RNC to the Donald Trump campaign is what we hear. Wow. Accused of groping women with literally no proof, Trump takes legal action against New York Times. Everybody's piling on. They could say, well, all these witnesses prove it. And my response is, how come they're not talking about Bill's issues? You literally have offspring of Bill demanding DNA tests. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the unsubstantiated allegations against Donald Trump. Many of them not only without merit, but just really unacceptable. A lady says in first class she was abused by Donald on the plane. He just pulled up the armrest between the two and, well, there's a witness that says that isn't true. I was there. It's bogus. Furthermore, on an airplane with stewardess all around, first class, I mean, it just doesn't make sense, right? All right, we also talked about the vote fraud factor. Voter fraud is real, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the proof. Data suggests that millions of voter registrations are fraudulent. Dead people voting, etc. That's enough to tip an election easily, says the Federalist. That was our 1 hour two. We had on our guest, Mr. Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. We talked about the Hillary campaign chief literally linked to money laundering in Russia. So Hillary goes off on Donald and says, you have way too many connections to Russia. Now we find out Hillary campaign chief linked to money laundering in Russia. See, everything that Hillary and Bill do, they blame on everybody else. We also talked about the good former sheriff Richard Mack testified in court in the Ammon Bundy trial. And on the stand, Mack described the occupation as a misguided protest, but said literally that Ammon Bundy and others were peering their hearts about truly trying to use the checks and balances our founders gave us, talking about the fact that they tried for a redress of grievance in every other way and couldn't get one, and they felt justified. The question is, can the federal government enter the county's jurisdiction without the elected sheriff's permission? All right. Anyway, sheriff answered that on the stand, by the way. And then Sheriff Richard Mack saw Ammon Bundy's attorney do a great job. The attorney had a speech impediment, but did an incredible job getting the details open for discussion so the jury could hear them. But the pro se folks, Ryan Bundy, for example, and Shauna Cox, in other words, pro se, doing it yourself, didn't do very well. They don't know what questions to ask. They don't know how to approach the judge or explain things, rephrase questions, do what it takes when objections happen. Don't go pro se, says Richard Mack. It's a mistake. The question is, will we have justice? And that's not only a question for the trial that's taking place for Ammon Bundy. That's a question for the whole nation, ladies and gentlemen. You got vote fraud being committed against Donald Trump, like or don't like Donald, the mainstream press hardcore in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And at what point do you have election fraud at the polls? The mainstream press is saying, oh, it's not really happening. The Democrats are saying, no, it doesn't really happen. Newt Gingrich and everybody else running around saying it happens all the time. But whether you talk about the polls on the precinct level or whether you talk about the manipulations from the media, well, he who owns the media makes the rules, as I like to say it. They literally twist elections by the not only the things they say, but more importantly, the things they don't say, the things they bury. For example, this Danny Williams and this Elisa girl, these two people that say that they want a DNA test to prove that Bill Clinton is their father. Most of the nation doesn't even understand that because the mainstream press spikes it and you don't hear a word about it. And if the American people heard a word about it and demanded a DNA test, and the DNA test came back and said, yes, Bill Clinton has these children that he was a deadbeat dad for, and that Hillary literally covered up and abused, covered up the stories and abused the victims by not letting them have their day in court. See, the Clintons say all these women deserve to be heard. Any woman that's raped or abused deserves to be heard, except for Bill's women. Then Hillary goes absolutely belligerent after them. There you have it. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. The news has been crazy all weekend long. The battle, the epic battle for the election rages on. Sad part is it's not even as consequential as we think it is. Oh, it's important, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's all full of October surprises, that's for sure. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Kirk Crosby, welcome, my friend.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
One of the biggest battles has been the mainstream press and what we hear and don't hear, as you know. Donald Trump going berserk talking about that. The other issue is the polls. The mainstream press loves to point to polls. I heard a discussion last night, maybe it was Saturday night. Anyway, between a Republican surrogate for Donald Trump and the mainstream press, and the mainstream press lady's like, you know, all the polls are against Donald. And the surrogate for Donald Trump just said, whose polls? And the lady's like, well, all of them. Well, that tells you something interesting because it all depends on how you do the polls. If you do of the polls, for example, in the state of Utah, Hillary's not just trouncing Donald Trump. It isn't true. So it all depends on where you get the polls, how you get the polls, who does the polls. And we've fallen for the lie in America for so long that we trust the people doing the polls. Very interesting indeed. But October surprises aren't over yet, are they, Lowell?
No, sirree, gentlemen. Not only do people not trust the polls, and here's evidence, there's more evidence that polls are not to be trusted. You never see a candidate in a campaign trust the polls that come out in the print. He will always do his own polling, or he or she, whoever the candidate is, will always do his own polling to see where he or she really stands with the electorate. They do not believe the polls put out by the mainstream media, and neither should we.
Now, here's what's fascinating about this. Whenever they do a poll and they like the results, then they tout it as it's credible as could be. Whenever they do a poll and the results don't happen the way they want to, they melt down. Ron Paul is a perfect example back in the day in 2008, 2012 election cycles. At first, when Ron started, Sean Hannity was telling you how incredible his poll was. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of the show, when Ron Paul starts winning big time, Sean's like, oh man, there's a bunch of like bots controlling the poll. Turn that sucker off. We can't be having that. And then Alan Combs, even the liberal, just laughed at him. And it goes on and on. We'll talk about that. Lowell Nelson, Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman, on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the polls are not to be believed. It's all how they ask the questions. It's all what sampling they sample. It's all how they spin the results. You can make anything you want be, quote, true with statistics. Go ask the statisticians. They'll tell you so. Welcome to the broadcast. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us on your radio. You've been actually seeing some mainstreamers even admit this is correct. Lowell?
I have, Sam. Rarely do I read any CNBC articles, but this one really caught my eye. There's a senior columnist there named Jake Novak. I want to give credit where the credit is due. And he posted a really common sense explanation for these wild swings that we see in poll numbers. For example, right now with Clinton with a big bump leading Trump, right? I mean, he writes, what happens in polling is that if your candidate does something that makes him or her look bad or that you don't agree with, then you're less likely to want to answer the poll questions about him, even if you think you're being asked anonymously. So it doesn't mean you still don't support your candidate. It just means that right at this very moment, you just don't want to talk about it. And, you know, Sam, this is really just common sense. Novak even cited an article by a Columbia University professor and Microsoft economist in Slate, wherein they stated, quote, "Recent research, however, suggests that swings in the polls can often be attributed not to changes in voter intention, but in changing patterns of survey non-response. What seems like a big change in public opinion turns out to be little more than changes in the inclinations of Democrats and Republicans to respond to polls," end quote. And so you can see how this works, Sam. With the widespread publication of the Access Hollywood tapes, more of the Trump voters simply chose not to respond to the polls. It didn't mean that they had changed their mind. It simply means that, you know, they didn't want to respond to the poll right then. And so, you know, you can see how that works. If I lambaste you for a half hour, Sam, and then someone calls up Kurt Crosby, and, you know, and Kurt hears this this lambasting going on, and some pollster calls up Kurt, asks him about Sam. You know, Kurt, of course, he's a courageous guy. He'll probably respond, "Yeah, I still support Sam." But, you know, and a lot of people aren't like that. They've just witnessed somebody being lambasted. They are less likely to voice their support for that candidate. Doesn't mean they're going to change their vote. Doesn't mean they're going to stay away from the polls. Doesn't mean there's any less support for the candidate. It simply means, hey, I just don't want to answer your question right now. Don't bother me.
Well, and it also is fascinating how when they do these polls, the pollsters are very savvy. And they know full well they're not going to interview the same people again. And that's the other interesting thing is that when you... Even town to town, the results of polls can be extremely different, even if you go, you know, 20 miles away. And oftentimes what they do is they act like it's the same poll. They act like it's the same questions, but they might slightly change a question. They might move a town over or a zip code over or whatever. And the results are completely different. I'll give you an example. Where we live in American Fork, Utah, where you live right here in a small town right near where I'm at, compared to, say, 40 miles away in Salt Lake City, I'm telling you the polling would be drastically different between those two. And in some of the inner cities versus the suburbs, it's even more drastic, Lowell.
You're absolutely right, Sam. As we get nearer and nearer to the election day, when the results of the elections will be published, the pollsters tend to get more and more accurate. It's not because they want to give a more accurate number. It's simply because they don't want to be seen as skewing the truth, right? I mean, they want to remain credible. Well, what they do is they do these wild swings long beforehand to try to push voters into doing what they want them to do. But and when they get closer and closer to the election, then they have to come back towards reality, so that they don't lose so much credibility when the actual election results are posted.
There you have it. Kurt, you want to chime into this? You know, the Ron Paul example is one of the most egregious I've seen with regards to these polls. You literally had TV anchors on TV going, "Our poll's incredible, check this out." And then when the Ron Paul people literally let their feelings be known, then they're like, "Oh, man, this is but nothing but a bunch of robots." And then Ron Paul raised $6 million in a single day, and then the mainstream people are like, "Well, I guess they aren't robots, but they're sure goofy. Oh, let's trot out the circus clowns now." See, when they have no answers, when they don't have the truth, they go to using labels to mock you. "Oh, Sam Bushman's a racist. Ron Paul's a clown," you know, et cetera, where they don't have a leg to stand on. We see their narrative crumbling before our very eyes. Right now, the mainstream press is trying to suggest that they're not really Clinton surrogates. But the emails from WikiLeaks show they are, and the evidence is obvious. I'll give you an example. Newt Gingrich was talking over the weekend, and he basically nailed one of the liberal news anchors to the wall, and he said, "Look, they've spent in the mainstream press like 60 plus minutes on air, the top three news services spent literally 23 minutes talking about this tape that they've been talking about for like 10 days now or more. This tape from Donald talking bad, which he shouldn't have done. Don't misunderstand me. But they spent 23 minutes on that, and they literally spent less than 1 minute on the WikiLeaks details of information that just came out over the weekend. So they're literally living in old news, 10-plus days old, on a talk of Trump, which isn't good, but yet ignoring completely the real, serious allegations coming out about how Hillary Clinton is rude to different racial and ethnic groups. How literally the mainstream press anchors are in bed with the Clinton administration / Clinton candidacy. Because, see, this all carries from the Clinton administration. They've been in this forever. And so they spent 23 minutes on the sex tape, or the talk about sex tape, whatever you want to say, and 1 minute, less than 1 minute on the other side. And then Newt Gingrich says, see, you guys are nothing but operatives for the Clinton administration, for the Clinton camp, for the Clinton candidacy. And then the anchor goes, yeah, but let's talk about Trump. You know, Trump, the things that he says, there's credible women. And Newt just laughed at him and went, you know, you guys are crazy. Now, I'm not defending Newt Gingrich. I think he's an insider, too. But even a broken clock is right once a day, right? Newt's right on this one. 23 minutes to less than 1 minute. And this is all top news services. It is beyond imagination, Lowell. And my point is, they're the ones that give us the polls, right?
Exactly right, Sam. They are not to be believed, you know, and it's amazing how little I listen to lamestream media nowadays, Sam. I listen to alternative radio. I listen to podcasts. I listen to Liberty Roundtable. I read columns from Ron Paul, Lou Rockwell, Tom Woods, Jason Stapleton show, many, many others. You know, it's just I so rarely even turn on the lamestream media anymore. I just don't understand, you know, how people can continue to subscribe and listen to these folks that just, I mean, it's crazy, Sam. If you think about the, yeah, it's crass, the way Donald Trump was talking, but think of the murders, the deaths and destruction that that we can lay at the feet of Clinton, both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and others. It just pales in comparison, the gravity of the seriousness of the crimes committed by Hillary Clinton and the establishment types versus, you know, this crass talk by a candidate named Donald Trump.
Now, there's a lot of discussion about election fraud from the literal precinct basis, the polling. We got to have poll watchers watch because they lie. And even in Kirk Crosby's town, they wouldn't let them be poll watchers. They said they had to be listeners. They moved them so far away they couldn't really literally watch the count. That, in my mind alone, is election fraud. It's criminal activity, suggesting that it can't be watched and verified, etc. But it gets worse. Now, Donald's talking about it being broken, not only in the elections, but that the mainstream press is so against Donald Trump that they're manipulating the people's viewpoints on the facts before they ever even get to the polls. But if that's not enough, what about the Electoral College? We'll talk about that, because that relates big time. If we have campaign fraud, could it happen there, too? Well, it's already happened. We'll tell you about it on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many commentators have speculated that if Donald Trump falls short in his dramatic bid for the White House, he may use his campaign to build an independent media network, perhaps assembled with the help of campaign advisor Steve Bannon, the former publisher of the Breitbart News Service. Whether his destination is the Oval Office or a return to Trump Tower, the candidate is now officially out of the casino business. On October 11th, the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the sole remnant of Trump's glory days as a developer, closed its doors after billionaire owner Carl Icahn couldn't reach an agreement with union representatives. The union went on strike in July to protest the loss of health care and pension benefits that were taken away by a bankruptcy court. According to an AP report, Icahn concluded that there was no path to profitability for the ailing casino and hotel. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. FOBs and WJC VIPs were earmarked for special consideration by an aide to then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in the immediate aftermath of the 2010 Haiti earthquake, according to email exchanges obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request. FOB stands for Friends of Bill, and WJC VIPs are people regarded as very important by William Jefferson Clinton. Need to flag when people are friends of WJC, advised senior State Department official Caitlin Claverick, who was winnowing out privileged applicants for assistance missions in Haiti. Referring to one applicant, Claverick asked, "Is this a FOB?" indicating that if not, the request should go to CIDI.org, a general government website. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Kurt Cosby and Sam Bushman breaking it down just for you this Monday morning. Hope you're doing fantastic. Now, the interesting thing is, according to the NBC's Novak, the most important thing to understand is, you know what, these poll numbers, it isn't that people really are changing their minds. They're not changing their minds. They're just not interested when their candidate's not doing very well for some little blip. They're just like, you know what, I'm going to just let this go, not respond now, or whatever else. But here's the thing, and this is why I say there's campaign fraud going on everywhere, whether it's manipulation of polls so the American people don't think the right thing. When people don't have the facts, when people don't have the truth, it changes perceptions and viewpoints and actions accordingly. And I bring this up because an example is this. These pollsters know this. They know this full well. And rather than saying, you know, we're not going to conduct a poll right now because it won't be accurate. Or, you know what, take this poll with a grain of salt because here's why. Novak saying people don't really change their mind. They just withhold from the poll, or the sampling may be different of where they're getting their numbers to push an agenda. They don't acknowledge any of that. They act like the polls are rock solid and they must be relied on to shape public opinion. And they lie and manipulate because their whole polling reputation depends on it. And that alone is of great, great concern. Anyway, I digress.
Sam?
Yes, sir.
Just two other things. You know, this is Solutions Radio, as you know, and as you make this Solutions Radio, and here is a couple solutions for citizens.
Please, yes, sir.
Throughout our country. Number one, go ahead and do exit polling of your own. If you can, please do if you have time. On election day, actually go to the polling location and then just do a purely statistically random sampling of the voters as they exit the polls. You pick every fifth person or every tenth person, regardless of who it is, and that's who you just ask, you know, who did you vote for, blah, blah, blah. And exit polls tend to be very accurate because people have now cast their vote. And they're happy to tell other people, you know, how they voted because they're excited about their candidate. And typically,
they also know that in an exit poll, when you just walk up and say, "Oh, I voted for so and so," it's really anonymous. They're not giving their name. They're not writing anything down. They're just telling you something, right?
Absolutely right, Sam. And so they tend to be very, very accurate. And so I would encourage citizens throughout the country to go ahead and be an exit poller at the polling locations on Tuesday, November, I think it's 8th. This year, and then a second suggestion is be a poll watcher. You know, I know that Kurt had and his friends had a bad experience or weren't able. It's probably a good experience, a memorable one, but they weren't able to actually watch the polls. Now in Highland, where I live, I've been a poll watcher several times, and for me it was a very good experience. I was amazed at how thoroughly, how methodically, how conscientiously, and how accurately every single vote was counted by these three counters.
And I think you're right. In the stable areas, in the conservative areas in the country, that I think that people do have, you know, a very serious stewardship, and the custody of the votes is very well documented and cared for the most part. Where I think the vote fraud happens is in small towns where they want to squeak somebody by and have somebody in. So the dynamic doesn't change much. And then it also happens in the large cities. They bus people in. I mean, I remember back in the day, 20 years ago, when we were talking about the Clinton administration and things like that, when they would do polls, we literally documented stories from the mainstream press where they'd literally go find homeless people, buy them beer, and bus them to vote and all these things. I mean, there's vote fraud in the cities, big time. Dead people voting. Now the latest over the weekend, headline, dead people usually vote for Democrats, this kind of stuff. And so it happens. But the thing to understand is that it doesn't happen everywhere. So if you go and see your polls and it's like stable as a rock and good, that's wonderful. But don't let that deceive you into believing that they're fine all across the country as a result. They don't need to change a whole lot to make these things stick or have the outcome different. One last point on these polls to note with regards to solutions and everything else.
Right, and that's exactly right, Sam. I think if good people, good men and women everywhere, in every polling location, every precinct of the country, were involved more and more assiduously adhered to the laws in their polling locations, then we would actually have better and better election results. There would be less fraud because we got more eyes watching the ballots, more eyes watching the counting, more eyes watching the whole process, the custody of ballots, and so forth. It's a very simple thing to be a poll watcher, and if you do it in your locale and get your friends to do it, you'll be amazed at how much more trustworthy the actual election results will become throughout the country.
Amen to that, and that's what we got to work on. We can't give up and think we've been beat. We can't become disenfranchised by our own ignorance and lack of willingness to roll up our sleeves and get involved. That's important. The other thing that's important to understand is when you learn about polls and pollsters and how they all work and everything else, the insiders love to use this term of unscientific or scientific polls. And they act like if I do a poll tomorrow that mine's unscientific. If a poll's done by the insiders, the pollsters, then it's somehow scientific. And if you understand science, then scientific can't have a margin of error of plus or minus 4 points. That's a huge swing, ladies and gentlemen. It's not scientific at all. They're lying to you. And so I'll give you an example. What they'll say is, you know what, this latest poll was taken with, you know, 2,041 adults or something like that. We've called, you know, it was taken from landlines and cell phones and whatever else. But understand that it's only like 2,000 people, tops, in their whole poll. And in the poll, you look at the questions they ask, and they're very leading questions. They're very manipulative by nature. And they do things that, based on human nature, manipulate the polls. For example, they might not put the names in alphabetical order. Or they might, you know, and it goes on. But all I'm telling you is what you hear first or second or third sometimes when you're on the phone and distracted and taking a poll matters. But anyway, then let's say that Matt Drudge does a poll. He'll just simply say, hey, here's the candidates in their alphabetical list. Who are you going to vote for? And literally like 700,000 people will vote. And Donald Trump will overwhelmingly come out the victor. I'm talking 70, 80, whatever percent. And then what the mainstream people will say is, well, that's not a scientific poll. That's just a bunch of internet people that all love the Donald. Okay, so what's more scientific? They're 2,000 people manipulated poll with all their scientific mumbo jumbo that isn't really scientific at all. It just has this perception of credible. Or the Matt Drudge poll that has 700,000 people on it. And the answer is both of them have their pluses and minuses and flaws. But neither one of them can be considered more scientific than the other, lol.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. It's a lot of fun to take polls like the Matt Drudge I like to dredge polling, but rarely does everybody know about them, and so yeah.
But their sampling is still up like 500 times larger.
Yeah.
Than the quote so-called scientific poll. Anyway.
That's right. You know, back in the Ron Paul days, you know, we actually had hundreds of thousands of people voting for Ron Paul in those polls. Every single one. I mean, people were just watching and waiting any time a poll got posted, you know, because they wanted to vote in the poll. And Ron was wildly popular just out there, you know, and in much the same way Donald Trump is wildly popular among thousands and thousands of people across our country. He may not be popular in a few states, but by the vast majority, I mean, he gets thousands and thousands of people at his events, and Clinton can barely scrape together one.
Well, and if the mainstream press were honest and fair, what they would do is they would cover the events, and if people actually knew about Ron Paul, for example, you know, people have heard his name, but I mean, if they knew that he was having an event, if they, in other words, if fair treatment were given, Ron Paul would be hitting grand slams everywhere he goes. Because when they do hear about it, when the people do know, and the way you could tell that is on a campus. When Ron Paul goes to a campus, I mean, literally they pack the gymnasiums and stuff, or the places where he speaks and appears, because people spread the word on campus. It's all about, again, what perception the mainstream press and the people who let the average American know things that matters. For example, you got Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley. They're polling at probably 1%. I mean, it's dismal to say the least. The mainstream press would say, yeah, that's because nobody cares about them. They're not even in the runnings. No one knows them. My response is, you put them on the debate stage one time, and or you cover them even a tenth as much as you cover the other guys, and instantly you will have them beating Gary Johnson in the polls, who's about, what, 9% now? Okay, but Gary Johnson, just put him in the debates, put him in the coverage, even give him a tenth of the coverage. And Gary Johnson will be up there too. Pretty soon you'd have a 4-point race and Hillary would be on the ropes. But again, it's all how they cover it all. Anyway, we digress. I want to move along to this point that you had, Lowell, because it's critical. You know, if we're going to talk about vote fraud, we need to talk about the Electoral College. And when we get back, we'll talk about it, because the Electoral College that our founders envisioned and had in the beginning versus what we have today, drastically different. Even in that, they commit vote fraud. We'll talk about it with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you: Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Kurt Cosby, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, and Sam Bushman breaking it down just for you. We're talking about how to pick a president in the Electoral College. The way it used to be and the way it is now, not even close to the same. What they've really done is taken the checks and balances that made a republic. Yeah, and they've turned it into a democracy by their literal manipulation and intentional dismantling of the checks and balances. The 17th Amendment is a great example. We got to repeal that sucker, where we used to have the states and the state legislatures deal with the senators. There was a check and balance. The people dealt with the congressional House side, and the state representatives dealt with the Senate side. An incredible check and balance that was dismantled. Well, the Electoral College has gone through a same manipulative move from a republic to a democratic or a democracy-style event, Lowell.
You're exactly right, Sam.
And I take the time on that because I want people to understand when they run around and say we have a democracy, sad to say, I used to correct them. Now I say, unfortunately, they're right. Even though that's not what our founders intended, and not by law what we have. That is, in practice, what we are seeing unfold.
Right. The founders wanted the president to be not a man of the people, but a man of the state, right? I mean, he wanted the state to be represented by the chief executive, and we will see why that's the case as we walk through this. Not many people understand how the Electoral College works, Sam. Unfortunately, we have lost touch with how the framers envisioned our selection of the President of the United States. And so I thought it worthwhile for us to just walk through that process this morning together and review the system. It's found in the second article of our Constitution. The term Electoral College is not actually found in the Constitution, by the way, or in the writings of the framers, but it does describe, and aptly so, the system by which our President is selected, or at least it did so in the 1790s. And as we walk through this, we can point out some of the differences with today's system, so that it becomes very easy to see where the problems lie today. As you have said so often on this show, Sam, by a return to the Constitution is the answer to the problems we face as a country. And the founders, the framers, they wanted the selection of the president to be done by wise, good, honest men who thoughtfully considered all of the various choices and then put forward the names of those that they thought would be most able to govern and most likely to understand the proper role of government and to adhere to the constraints of the Constitution in the spirit of the framers.
Now, let's make this very clear. Not only do we want to make sure we have the checks and balances of a true republic, and we want to reject this democracy idea. That's number one. Number two we need to understand is the whole process wasn't based on partisan politics at all.
No, it was not partisan. Every state was to identify a number of electors equal to the number of the senators and representatives in Congress. And so, like here in Utah, currently we have two senators. Of course, every state has two senators. We have four representatives in Congress, and that's due to the population of our state and so forth. Every state is that way. You have more population, you have more representatives in the House of Representatives. Now, the sum of those two numbers, you have two senators plus the number of representatives you have, equals the number of electors every state has.
And by the way, we should have way more than that based on population. If you go read, we should have a whole lot more House representatives than we currently have, but that's a whole other discussion. I'm just telling you that in every way they've dismantled the system.
Exactly right. It was, I think, 30,000 people to be represented by one representative in the House. And, yes, we've departed.
Yeah, so we should have like a couple of hundred.
Yeah. So, now, an elector was to be a common person, like you or me. Just someone could not hold an office of trust or profit under the United States. The framers were very careful to be sure that no special privileges were to be given to the electors in the nominating process that might turn out to support the incumbent in their bid for these offices. Nor did they want to have quid pro quo going on, where, you know, if we nominate so-and-so, then he will favor us in our position in the House or in the Senate. None of that was to go on. That's why if you're a member of Congress or if you're an employee of the federal government, you may not be an elector, a presidential elector. So they're very careful about that, wanting to protect against setting up the system for any kind of political payoff. There was one body to nominate the candidates, and those were the presidential electors. And then there was a separate body to actually elect the president in the event that not a single person won a majority of the nominations. And so that's how they did it. Every state was to identify these electors. Then the electors, they would meet in their respective dates on the very same day, on the very same time of the day, and they would vote on a piece of paper. They would write down two names, the names of two people, one of whom, at least one of whom, could not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves, right? So if you were an elector, Sam, you could write down the name of Scott Bradley, but you could not write down the name of Kurt Crosby, because both of those individuals live in the state of Utah. You could write down Darrell Castle if you wanted, because he doesn't live in Utah, and then you could write down Scott Bradley.
Again, a tiny issue, but it creates a check and balance, because now you're not just making your state or your local whatever prominent. You're spreading it across populations of whom would elect and have authority over those who got elected, right?
That's right. And they did this on the very same day across the nation at the same time, because they did not want collusion among the electors. In other words, they didn't want people from Tennessee talking to people from Alabama and saying, all right, who are you going to vote for? Who should we go for, you know? They wanted these individuals to carefully, prayerfully scrutinize the nation for the individual they thought would best serve their state in as the president of the United States, and to sincerely write down the name of the person that they, the two people they sincerely believed would best serve the country. And then their job is done. Once they do that, then they send their ballots to the seat of the general government, which right now is Washington, D.C., their job is done. That's it. It's over. There's no connection with electors of other states, no campaigning, no training of votes for future.
No manipulated debates by the moderators.
Absolutely. They weren't elected based on popular acclaim, or they weren't awash in the popular debates and news media at the time. Basically, these were thoughtful individuals who simply wrote down the names of people they thought would best serve the country. Now, the great thing about this was that the very first election that was held, every elector in the country, which were 13 states, wrote down the name of George Washington. There was no question. He was unanimously elected by the electors that first time around. Because he and they thoughtfully did it. They says, who can best serve here? And they chose George Washington. He is the only president we've had who was elected unanimously by the presidential electors of the several states. What a wonderful man he is. What a wonderful job he did as our first president. Now, once they send those votes off, it goes. Those votes then are received by the general government right now in Washington, D.C., and the president of the Senate would count the votes in the presence of all the representatives and count the votes, and if there was an individual who received a majority of the votes, meaning of, he was named a majority of the times by the electors, then he would immediately be the president. He would be named as president. He would become president. But if nobody got a majority of the votes cast, then the House of Representatives would select the president from among the five top vote getters from the presidential electors.
In other words, another check and balance.
Absolutely right. And so if it wasn't unanimous, I mean, if it wasn't a majority of the electors, then the House of Representatives would get the final vote, and in the House, every state would get one vote. And so that's the evidence that the President of the United States was to be representative more of the state than of the people, because it was the state, one vote per state, who determined who became president.
Every time we see the check and balance between the people having their say, but then using representation to off balance and make the states relatively equal to the best of our ability when it comes to appropriations and how the system works. Every time you have a check and balance, a balance between whom they've elected, who spend their whole time understanding this stuff, and the people who usually vote right by the masses. But all these checks and balances are what make up the unique experiment our founding fathers talked about and that proved so successful.
And so, in summary, you're exactly right, Sam. Presidential electors are common citizens, each of whom nominates the two best people he or she knows to be president. These nominations are counted by the President of the Senate in the presence of the House and Senate. And if the electors overwhelmingly name the same person, as was the case with George Washington, then that person becomes president. But if no person gets a majority, then the House of Representatives chooses the president from among the five top nominees by a majority vote, each state getting one vote.
And the sad part is it doesn't work like that now at all. And the sad part is the people believe that it works the way intended, but it doesn't. And that's why we have the problem. We got to restore the republic and return to what works. The sooner we do, the sooner we'll have the proper role of limited, constitutional, successful, working as intended by our founding fathers, government. Lowell, 5 seconds.
Let's embolden presidential electors in the 20 unbound states to nominate a person who truly understands the proper role of government. Sam?
We're flat out of time. This nation shall endure. Thanks, Lowell.